Evening, everyone. I'm going to open in prayer 29 to 31 of the passage that Jeff just read. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Just so far, could we pray, please? Lord, I pray tonight for your Holy Spirit to truly be in our midst. I pray, Lord, that you give me clarity in my speaking, Lord, and I pray that you give your Spirit-filled children discernment. And I do realize, Lord, that this is a subject that might not be well understood, but I pray you'll give understanding. Oh, Lord, you know my heart is compelled to say what I'm going to say, and I pray that you make it fruitful to your glory. For Christ's sake, amen. We all know the story here. You've heard it many times. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading his Bible in the chariot. He was obviously very keen to learn. He was reading out loud as they used to in ancient times. Silent reading is something that happened in the modern day. And yet, his reading, we're told in the passage, was fruitless. Until Philip came to him by the Spirit's guidance and explained the meaning behind the words he read. And the eunuch puts it so well in verse 31. "How can I understand this?" he asks, "unless someone explains it to me." Now that's an obvious question, you may say, but I fear not. As I take my leave of this church, I would like to share with you one major concern I have come across with many people in British evangelical circles. By the way, the elders don't have to answer questions. If you don't want to, I can handle this on my own afterwards. You know, you don't have to stand up here and, you know, you might not always agree with what I'm going to say. There is a serious problem I find, and I'm worried about it for the future. I worry for the FIC and like-minded evangelical circles, an anti-intellectualism. Listen, switch off the mind and let's just go with the heart. Let's just put aside historical doctrines and let's just go with the flow. You know, it seems to work, and a pragmatism takes place. There are many people in evangelical churches. Now, I'm not looking at you guys. You guys are all spotless, okay. But there are many people that believe with all their heart in the inspiration of Scripture, and I say, hallelujah, praise God. They take the time and the discipline to regularly read their Bibles. They'll have quiet times. There are many evangelicals that long to discover new things about God out of the Bible, but, and I say this with a number of years behind me now, they don't realize what the Ethiopian eunuch in our text realized. What is it that he realized? Listen and bear with me, okay? Reading the Bible is not an isolated event. It's not just you, God, in your Bible. And I've come across this mentality so often, it's going to kill evangelicalism. Mark my words, if we don't wake up. I know many people who seem to think that if they just pick up and read the Bible, then they have no need of any guidance or instruction from any authority outside of God. They say, well, the Holy Spirit will tell me what I've got to learn. That's it. Give me a Bible and I'll get it. And with all due respect, you might be here and you feel that way this evening. I've heard people say, I reject creeds and confessions because they are man-made structures. I just need my Bible, and if I've got my Bible, I'll learn everything I need to know. Me and my Bible. Really? If we go back to the text, we will notice that the Ethiopian eunuch had his Bible, and he was reading it most passionately, and yet he came to realize he needed help in understanding it. And there are many today Bible people that don't seem to realize this. They take the Reformation and they push it to the extreme. I agree that we cannot have the church telling us what the Bible means. But unless we... Let me do it slowly. Do you realize tonight that Christian faith was never meant to be lived out in isolation? Do you know that? I don't think you could truly come to Christian faith on a desert island with just your Bible. And let me tell you why. Because faith comes by hearing. It's communal. We are living our Christianity out in a community. The fellowship, which is called church, koinonia, agapes, the community of God's love. And we are all part of that body. If you're in isolation, you say, it's me in my garage with my Bible, I don't need the church to tell me what it means. What if you're just a finger in the body? You're pretty incomplete, aren't you? You can't tell me that you understand the wonder of the Christian faith if you refuse to accept that you're part of something much bigger than just you and your surroundings. You're part of the heavenly community, the fellowship of the saints. Agape, love, is the bond of the church, and we exist as individual members. Member there means individual units of the body. Now, when it comes to reading and understanding the Bible, now please get this. It's never just you in isolation. You know, well, this is what it means to me. Please, it's dangerous to think that, even though it's popular and increasingly popular in our postmodern age. The Bible is a very complex book, and the plot of the Bible is massive. And fortunately, now you've got to hear me out. The church, the body of Christ, the communal mind of Christ, has been reading and studying the Bible for over 2,000 years. The church militant, that's all Christians on planet Earth at the moment, and the church triumphant, that's all our brothers and sisters who have passed on from generations gone by, they have all struggled, read, interpreted, picked and debated the scriptures for over 2,000 years. The greatest minds of the body of Christ have got together. They've made mistakes. They've corrected them. They've got together. They've wrestled things out. And the Bible's been read by the church again and again and again. Now, there's a lot of stuff the church universal has discovered in the reading of Scripture. Don't you want to know what the church knows about the scriptures that you may in one little lifetime never get to discover? Do you know it took 300 years for the church to clearly explain what the Bible teaches about the doctrine of the Trinity? They didn't just pick up their Bible, oh, Trinity, Father, Son, Holy. 300 years. Go to the four councils that debated this. For 300 years, the church struggled and agonized and over false ideas and true ideas. And by the Spirit's leading, the church showed clearly what the Bible taught on the Trinity. And if you think this evening that you picked up your Bible and discovered the Trinity for yourself, you've got delusions of grandeur. We didn't pick it up. We've learned that from people that have gone before us and said, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what we've learned over the generations about the Bible's teaching. And it's been checked and checked and rechecked and rechecked for 2,000 years. The truth has been pointed out concerning the Trinity to us, and that's why we now read the Trinity back into it. It's in the Bible, and it's clearly in the Bible, but do you know it took a long time for us to systematize it and make sense of it? Just like the Ethiopian eunuch, in our reading, we need things to be explained to us. We don't just get everything. Our frame of references are so limited. We're just little human beings with limited intelligence. So we read the Bible in community. En koinonia is the way the theologians say it. We read the Bible realizing we're all brothers and sisters growing in the knowledge of God through the one pure scripture. And it's taken all these generations to get all the stuff we know. And it's gone through a purification process of 2,000 years. But we've got good stuff that we know from our Bibles now. This is why we're told in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, God has granted the church apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists. Because we are to be taught what the Bible says. And we've now got 2,000 years of experience behind our learning. So sure, we've got our Bibles, but the Bible needs to be explained to us, taught to us. We need to be taught how to read it. Now, I have even seen on internet evangelicals that insist, no, we don't need to listen to what anyone else tells us. If I've got my Bible and I've got the Holy Spirit, I can pick the Bible up and hey presto, it will all just make sense to me. I'll get the Bible and I'll understand hypostatic union and the Holy Trinity and all that stuff. I know it's important, but I'll get it with my own mind. Really? Why do you think our world is so full of cults and sects and garage churches and do-it-yourself churches? It's because people have taken the term sola scriptura, a wonderful Reformation term, scripture alone, and they've misunderstood it and they've twisted it to mean the Bible cut off from the church. It's just me and my Bible. Do you know how much of yourself you read into whatever you read? We read the Bible as Christians, and we read the Bible alone. Scripture alone is our authority. As a church, though, we don't live in a vacuum. When we say sola scriptura, scripture alone, we meaning the Bible alone is the church's book. Not the Bible alone is Don Wilson's book, and he'll read it according to all his hang-ups and problems. Do you realize how we can drag scriptures down to the context of one little man? And it happens. And it's happening all over the world today. And this is why it is a fear I have for evangelicalism. We're losing it, people. And as you can ask me questions now. I hope you do. But I want to remind you, we are part of the church. The church militant and the church triumphant. There are generations of godly people that have learned things that we'll never discover, but they'll share it with us because we're one church and one mind of Christ. And the church's message is found in the Bible alone. But we need to realize, who was it? I think it was, I can't remember who, it used to be on the pound coins. We read the Bible in community, therefore we stand on the shoulders of giants. If I just pick my Bible up and read it, I can come up with all sorts of things. But if I say, I am part of the church and I'm submitted to the apostles and the evangelists and the teachers of the church, I'm commanded to submit to them in the scriptures. Listen to what they're teaching. If the apostolic doctrine is my authority and I realize it's been filtered and it's been hammered out for over 2,000 years, I'll have something to know. So my prayer is, and this is why the elders don't have to come up and answer questions with me. I'll answer them on my Todd, if you like. I pray that this church will be very evangelical, uncompromisingly evangelical, but it will strive to be a confessional church. And not just a church of self-centered individuals reading the Bible how they deem fit, what they think the Bible means to them. What's a confessional church? It's a church that stands itself upon the faithful reading, interpretation, and understanding of the Bible for all the generations that have gone before us. We are one body. And let me tell you, God's blessed the church with great minds in the past. Are we going to throw that all out and live in the 21st century alone? You know, when we put our heads together as Christians, we can discover so much more about this book. But if we're going to limit this book to my life and my problems and my situation and what it means to me and my friends, we've cut off information that God has given us for so many generations. Amazing truths. So a confessional church is a church that remembers the creeds and confessions on a secondary level. Don't get me wrong. Scripture alone is authoritative. But we remember our forefathers and the things they learned, and we build upon their shoulders. If you think you can come to profound knowledge of God in your short little lifetime, you overestimate your intelligence. I'm sorry. We need to remember things like the Westminster Confession of Faith. The British nation got together and agonized in 1647 on what the Bible means. And the greatest minds God blessed this country with hammered it out and defined it. Are we going to throw that away? The Heidelberg Catechism. The Baptist Confession, 1689. The Synod of Dort. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. Every time we pick up our Bibles, the wheel has been invented. We don't need to figure out the Bible for ourselves in our own little short lifespan, because the church over the years has discovered so much. We need to sit and listen to them and check them with Scripture, like the Bereans. But we've got to listen. Don't just discard 2,000 years of truth. For my experience with the Bible today, it's a deception. And it's going to lead you frighteningly astray in the future if you don't heed me now, even if you don't particularly like what I'm saying. We need to be like the Ethiopian eunuch in the text, teachable, being honest. I don't know who this lamb led to the slaughter is. How can I know unless somebody show me? And submit to somebody who knows by God's anointing. I remember when I was 13 years old in high school, I had my first experience of Hamlet. It was awful. I remember reading it, and after two or three pages, saying, what on earth is he talking about? You know, this is Mandarin Chinese. I didn't get it. I went home and I said to my mother, I've got to read this whole book. I don't know what it's about. So she told me what she understood by the story of Hamlet. She'd done it in school. And then I watched a movie on Hamlet, and I got the filmmaker's interpretation of Hamlet. And then I discussed Hamlet with other people that had read the book, and I got all these different tidbits from people that had experienced the book and read it. Do you know what? I then went back to Hamlet, and it was amazing the insights I got, because I'd leaned on the knowledge and the reading of others, And wow, that book opened to me. Not saying I still get it completely, it's a boring book. Shakespeare really indulged in his own words, but don't think that the Bible is less profound and deep than Hamlet. If it took learned minds and experienced minds to give me a deeper insight into that book, God's blessed this church with a history of 2,000 years. Men and women gave their lives to put on paper the wonderful things they learned, things that I would never know and get into my thick head unless somebody told me. And I'm not saying put them on a pedestal. The Bible alone is my authority. But be like a Berean and check what people have told you. And your knowledge of Christianity will just go so deep and you'll never be misled. Great deception is coming. I promise you it's going to come worse. And one of the warning signs is we've cut off our connections with our history. We need to be confessional, not existential, or otherwise not merely experience-based. Lord, please, I pray that no one will be offended by what I said, but they'll realize in love of you and your word and your church, I've said what I have. I pray, Lord, that you give people the courage and the openness to discuss this for Christ's sake. Amen.